Thompson. Kia ora and welcome to Property Matters. Tonight we chat all things real estate with a focus on West Auckland as we meet Paul Fox and Sarah Ball, Branch Manager and Property Manager for Barfoot & Thompson, Glendine. Remember, you can download our podcast from barfoot.co.nz/property matters or listen anytime on planetaudio.org.nz. Welcome to Property Matters. Welcome to the show. I'm Stephen Dallow and delighted to have you tuned into our show. So sorry we missed last week, but Alert Level 3 means this community radio station has to close its doors and become a music channel, but we are delighted to be back. Each week we have a mix of guests from across the rental and investment landscape to give you tips and tricks on how to maximise your investment and provide practical advice for tenants and landlords who just need that tricky question answered. Now, this is very much your show, so we encourage you to email us at any point in the week at propertymatters@barfoot.co.nz or send us a message on our Facebook page and we will get the experts to answer your questions in upcoming episodes. You don't need to be a Barfoot & Thompson customer to get in touch. We are keen to help everyone out there, so fire us your emails or you can find us on Facebook at Property Matters Radio. Now, a big welcome to Paul and Sarah from Barfoot and Thompson, Glendine. Thanks for joining us this afternoon, team.
Thanks, Damon.
And we've been jinxed for a couple of weeks because we've had you booked in and then lockdowns have happened, but I'm glad we broke the curse today.
Woohoo.
We didn't plan it. Nothing to do with that.
So, Paul, I'm going to kick the show off with you. Tell us a little bit about your journey in real estate that led up to you being a branch manager.
Well, where do you start? For me, it probably happened later on in life, actually. I was in my 40s. I won't say whether they're high or low 40s. due to other circumstances, decided to sort of give it a go. I'd had a few investment properties and sort of liked that side of things. So ventured out, got my real estate license in 2013. So that's, 8 years ago. So I'm still pretty green as far as I'm concerned. I was selling properties, listing and selling properties for 3 or 4 years. From there, managed to progress into a sales manager role, which I absolutely loved. And I think that sort of opened up areas and avenues for me as well to sort of see it from a different side rather than just doing the listing and the selling side. So got a bit of a bug for helping other people, had some really good management support within Barfoot & Thompson at the time as well to sort of stead me in the right path. So I finally got my branch manager's license and became branch manager for Barfoot & Thompson Titirangi in 2018.
Wow. What is it that you love so much about real estate? You mentioned the helping people.
Yeah, it is. There's a combination of things. It is helping people. You're almost going back to the first days. I remember when I was helping someone early on in my days and they listed and sold their first listing, and it kind of took you back to when you did your first one as well. Sort of came out in goosebumps and you could see the joy and excitement in their eyes and how they reacted. And I think that's probably what resonated with me and made me think, hey, this is cool. You're adding good positive value to someone's life. And it just sort of, progressed from there. So I got the bug, kept going, and obviously things got better. And now I'm fortunate enough to be at Glendine, Barfoot & Thompson and absolutely loving it there. So it's been good.
You mentioned just about, helping other agents as well. Is that a key part of your role, is the mentoring of other people coming up the ranks?
Yeah, so it is. So obviously we've got rules now under REA. Part of that is under the supervision. So there is 6 months where they need to be monitored for obviously technical stuff on what they're doing, but it's more the support. Everyone's a self-employed contractor, so you are your own business person. You've got no one who's accountable to yourself but yourself, so you've got to get out and make a go of it yourself. And when you're on your own, that can be quite a lonely process, and if you haven't done anything to do with sales or especially real estate sales, it can be quite daunting. What do you say to people? You know, how do you meet them? How do you do the prospecting? All that sort of stuff. It's the most expensive asset, so you're always nervous and all that sort of thing. You want to do right by everyone. So you do literally, so to speak, hold their hand and guide them through.
That's cool. So how has your sales team coped with this really crazy last 12 months. And look, it hasn't stopped, both from a lockdown point of view that was unexpected, but also how busy the sales world is.
Yeah, it's, I mean, for a lot of it, I think it's brought us back to, in some essence, old real estate, but it's back to your database, contacting people, even though, you know, we list and sell houses and you know, we're in the real estate game. It's actually more the people in the relationship game. And a lot of it for people in that regard, it's having that relationship. You've got to build trust. So I think through COVID, also with our property management side as well, we went back through, we rung all our landlords, all our tenants. So it sort of took you back to, hey, is everyone okay? How are you coping? What impact is it having? And I think that sort of grounded us all and kind of maybe distracted us from perhaps our own fears around how we're going to go and what's going to happen as well. So I think overall it's been a reasonable thing. We can't do much about it but go with it. I think we've bounced back from that. I mean, the market, as you say, has gone crazy. Mm. We don't influence it. We just got to go along with the flow as well. So it's been a good learning curve for everyone, I think.
I bet. So look, today I was really keen to unpack some of the media comments and get your personal take on it. Westpac Chief Economist Dominic Stevens said this week that while house prices are still rising, the market is past its peak and should start to slow next year. What's your thoughts on that? Are you seeing that at all?
Well, at the moment, no. And it's just, I mean, everywhere you look, it's so much in the media at the moment because it is obviously one of the biggest topics. And who do you believe? What do you believe? I mean, a lot of it, I try and encourage my team not to read too much of the media and so forth that's going on there, and they just respect. I know we need that out there. I prefer them to read an article as opposed to sit down and watch TV where you're sort of force-fed as opposed to picking what you'd like to read. Because, you know, if we go back to when COVID first started back in March last year, you know, people were talking a 20% market crash and trying to bring up a team and encourage a team and get them, you know, positive about that. It was so hard to do, and yet we'd never been there before. So no one really knew what we were in for. And a lot of it, you know, we're in the marketplace daily, so you get to see what's going on. So a lot of, you can get stuff happening in one suburb that's not happening in another suburb. Yeah. So it is difficult to know exactly what's going on. It's who you want to believe, I guess. So, yeah.
I mean, Auckland's such a big place. I mean, I was a great fan of the old individual cities back in the Waitakere, North Shore days, because they each did have their own heart, their soul, their tick. It was quite different. Now we're branded as this one big Auckland, but actually what's happening in the Deep South doesn't necessarily apply on the North Shore. And that's sort of evident now.
Well, it is, and you've got, I mean, that's the thing you always say, you've always got markets within markets, micro markets, as I used to call them. So, you know, you get pockets of different areas where, for example, probably Henderson's a good one to take, for example. So you've got Henderson itself, it's quite a big area, but it's also broken into Henderson Heights, or Western Heights, as it's officially called now. Back when I was in my selling days, that was the hood that I hung out in and where I prospect and everything in there. And you had to know your numbers because Henderson was more of a property investor market where you could buy at a lower price and still get a good rental return. Whereas if you're looking at Henderson Heights or Western Heights, it was more capital growth because the house prices increased considerably more over time and your yields weren't quite as good because your rent was down a little bit. So that's just within one suburb of Henderson. Mm. So when you get the reports coming out from different people and economists and all that, there's markets within markets. That's what it doesn't analyse. And that's why I always say to our team, you've got to be an area expert. You've got to know your patch because what's happening in your patch cannot be happening, you know, a kilometre down the road. It's no different than, you know, being in one zone for construction at the moment and two houses down, totally different zone, and they don't have the same, you know, allowances that you have in there as well. So it's yeah.
So you'd promote that now is still a good time to sell?
To me, any time is a good time. It's not so much, it depends what you're looking for. You've got to come down to what is your reason for selling, and that's always one of the key things. You've always got to ask the buyers, what is it you're looking to do? If they're looking to test the market, it's probably not the right thing to be doing because you've got to invest marketing money and everything into it. And if you're going to test the market, what are you actually testing it for? And that's in my opinion. You've got to be fully committed. Buyers are looking for people who are fully committed and they get a sense if people aren't. So it's more, you know, a lot of the vendors that we're getting selling at the moment, through COVID, they realise they don't need to work in Auckland anymore. They can remote on. You know, we've been to their houses. They're all set up in the garage or set up in the spare room. So for them, moving out out of Auckland is absolutely fine. So for them, the timing is right. The market's at a, you know, maybe at a peak, heading to a peak, starting to plateau, who knows. But for them, it was their personal reasons is what they decided to sell for. So they get to move on to the next, you know, next part of their life. So,
Look, Stuff newspapers reported this week that buying a property is still a preferred investment over money in the bank. So, obviously, as you just said, any time's a good time to sell. But is it a good time to buy an investment property?
That again is always a tough one. Yes, I mean,
and does that again depend a little bit about where you are in the price? And
yeah, and it absolutely does. It's down to your own personal circumstances, and I guess some of it comes down to at the moment a lot of what you're reading about is affordability. So if you can't afford an investment property, for example, or into your first home, then you've got to look at other avenues of investment. But we know historically from, you know, the boom and bust of real estate, there's a 7 to 10 year cycle. And, you know, you'd normally say, hey, we're heading to a peak, so wait. But we've seen it before, we've said that, and then it plateaus for 6 or 12 months, and then all of a sudden there's a spike again for whatever reason. So you're just not quite sure exactly what's happening out there.
And from a West Auckland point of view, where you're sitting, and I mean, Glendine sits right in the middle of the West, is it proving popular as a market?
It is. It definitely is. And I think where we are in Glendine, we are west, but we're not west-west. No offence to the real Westies out there. But in that regard, I mean, you know what I mean? We're classified as west, but we're probably closer to the city than most of the other West Auckland. We're sort of not on the verge of central, but we're not that far from it. So, again, motorway access, all that sort of stuff for people is handy. If you're looking around the Sunnyvale area, which again is neighbours Glendine, you've got trains there, public transport, that sort of thing as well. So you've got all of that going on. Our first place we bought was Mount Roskill, and we sold and moved out west into Henderson because we got much more bang for our buck than what we were getting around central Auckland. So I think there's still that sort of feeling out there that people, you want to get more bang for your buck. You're getting that now. Our average price is obviously increasing because the market's going up. But then you get pockets where you'll get units or two-bedroom houses and that sort of thing where people can afford to get those to get into the marketplace. Or from an investment perspective, it can be an investment property as well because it's within a price range that's still going to give you a reasonable rental return.
Apart from the real estate side, what is it that you love about West Auckland?
Well, where do you start? There's lots. I mean, you've got all the sports centres out at Trust Stadium. There's a lot more stuff going on out there as well. I think it's central to lots of other areas now. We've got the tunnel, obviously makes it easier heading out south and so forth as well.
To the airport. Yep.
To the airport, yep. I'm probably a little bit biased because obviously the family's out that way as well. So for us, obviously, it's convenience for family as well. But I think it's one of those growing areas where it's there's still developments going on. We've still got lots of developments going on in our area, so there's more housing and so forth going on, which is creating more opportunities for people as well. So it's a good hub to be in. Good place.
So Sarah, if I bring you in here as property manager, are rental properties still getting great returns in West Auckland?
Yes, they are.
They are? Still a good spot to buy?
Definitely.
Are you, as Paul said it, from the hood? Is your hood West Auckland as well?
My hood is actually Glendine. I've lived in Glendine for 15 years.
You are definitely the expert in the area.
Yes. Yeah. No, Glendine is my hood. So I know just about every street in Glendine. Okay. I should walk to work, but I don't.
I was going to say, or be an Uber driver on the side because you know the area. How long have you been a property manager or in property management?
So I've been with Barford and Thompson for almost 10 years. I started in the Te Aritu Peninsula branch for 4 years. Prior to that, I was a hairdresser, so complete change of career, but a very good change, and I do really enjoy my job. My sister has been with Barford and Thompson for a very long time, and she talked me into coming over, and I don't regret it. So it's been a really good change in career direction for me.
What is it that you love most about the job? What's the highlights?
I love working with people, seeing landlords moving on to their second home but retaining their first home and as an investment, and having a great tenant in there that looks after it and appreciates it.
No, that's an interesting point you raise there. You know, so building that relationship, I guess, as a property manager with an owner, to the point that they can then purchase another property and then you end up managing it, that must be a cool journey, but also shows the trust that they have in you and your team.
It really does. We've had quite a lot recently where they've purchased their second home, and, you know, the first home is something really special, I think, and it is hard for people to walk away from their first home and have someone else living in it. So it's sort of have that conversation. So, look, it's going to be hard when you see an inspection report of someone else living in your home. But it's okay because it's a business for you and you've moved on to your second home that's a little bit bigger or a little bit more lawn, whatever it is that you were looking for.
Nice. Paul mentioned earlier, you know, when I asked him around, you know, when's a good time to buy an investment property, he said, you know, being able to afford it, when you can afford it. Mm. I guess for you as a property manager, does that go the next step as well? It's not just affording the mortgage on it, but the maintenance, the upkeep. You must make sure that you're doing, and Paul chip in at any point, investors must make sure they're doing their budgets, because it's not just about paying that mortgage, is it?
I agree, yeah.
What sort of maintenance things crop up for an owner in their first year that they might need to think about when they're working out whether they're ready to buy or not?
I mean, just general maintenance of the property, having the gutters cleaned, the downpipes, maintaining trees and shrubs at the property, obviously trying to get it as low maintenance as possible initially, does make a good investment property. Also thinking about things like healthy homes standards, so ventilation, heating, all of those types of things, and sort of working through that, I think, as well, before you actually need to get it done is great.
Absolutely.
If possible.
And I guess, Paul, your team can, as sales agents, support a potential investor in finding something that is that low maintenance property.
Absolutely. And again, it's looking, I was just going to add too, with, you know, the healthy homes and all that as well, it's letting those investors know where that property is at in its current state when they're going to purchase the property. So that's now part of our responsibility with our sales consultants, is to find that information out. Most of the places, you know, we live in our home at the moment, it wouldn't qualify for healthy homes. So, and a lot of the properties that come into market are homeowners who are selling to move somewhere else. They're not necessarily investors. So you got to make sure you do your homework so you're fully informing that buyer that, hey, this is up to healthy home standards at the moment, but it's going to have to be upgraded to this, or it's not up to any standard. So this is the potential work and, you know, supposed cost that you're going to be in for. So they need to factor that in to build that in there.
And make sure they've got that reserve for the moment that something does happen. I mean, if you're a homeowner yourself, I mean, eventually the toilet's going to go, the oven's going to go. These things just do happen. Yeah, yep. And you need to be ready. Sarah, we've seen in the media over the last year, you know, the queues out the door at a viewing and things, and obviously with COVID, those queues can't happen at the moment. So are you still turning around to rental property quite quickly?
Yes. I mean, there's always people looking for homes. So, I mean, I guess the best thing that someone can be prepared to do when you are looking for a property is to just ensure that you're filling out applications correctly. Most everything's done online now, so attention to detail when you're filling out those applications is really important. Having email addresses for all your references, even a nice cover note, just a little bit about your family, yourselves, if you have any pets, whether you're looking for a long-term home or short-term, is always good.
Is renting with pets impossible?
No.
No? So what should I do? Should I front up with a bit of a pet CV of my
pet
poodle?
Pet CVs are great.
Yep.
Nice photo and a bit of a story about your pet, how long you've had your pet, what kind of breed it is, you know, that regularly vaccinated, that type of thing.
And don't fall into the trap of always saying it's an outdoor pet, because even the best outdoor pets come inside.
They all like to sleep inside.
Yeah. So look, there's been lots of changes lately to the Residential Tenancy Act. How is this going to impact investors or landlords, do you think?
I guess people need to be aware of the changes to the RTA in regards to giving notice. So if landlords or their families need to move back in the property, that time has been extended, so they do have to give 63 days notice plus service. So keeping that in mind with any plans that they're making for the future, and obviously the 90-day notice, two tenants have to come with a reason.
Yeah, it is getting tighter. And in the second half of the show, we're going to unpack some of those. One of the big ones that sort of hits the media all the time now is this antisocial behaviour, which has become a real talking point. How or what determines antisocial behaviour, in your understanding?
So I think anything not normal. know?
This is West Auckland we're talking about. Come on.
West Auckland, there is, I guess, different level of antisocial behaviour in West Auckland. But, I mean, I guess not annoying neighbours at 3 o'clock in the morning, because we do get calls like that sometimes from neighbours about tenants that are having parties and things like that. And, I mean, I guess it is really important, too, for a landlord to have someone involved who's professional, and those neighbours can contact the agent
because that's right, because they need to have three instances, don't they, of antisocial behaviour within a 90-day period?
90-day period.
Yeah, so having the professionals involved certainly takes that out of a private landlord. But I can imagine, too, it's going to be an interesting journey to be tested a little bit. You know, what is reported and what is recorded. I mean, I'm sure the police aren't wanting to get every single phone call of antisocial behaviour, so there's a record, but I can kind of see that happening for a little bit.
Mm.
Then there'll also be nervous people not wanting to report on their neighbour but actually wanting them moved on. So it's going to be an interesting time ahead. From a tenant's perspective, is there anything that stands out for you as a change in this rules that's going to really impact them?
So definitely the notice to vacate period. So a lot of people aren't aware that it's gone to 28 days notice if you're on a periodic tenancy. Rather than the 21 days, you do have to give 28 days notice in writing to vacate the property. Obviously, things with minor changes and alterations to the property, that's a little bit difficult as well. So we are asking our tenants just to put anything that they'd like to do in writing. It just protects them, it protects ourselves and the owners.
Absolutely, because that's not a rule that says you can just go and do it. It is with permission, but reasonable expectation on landlords if it's fair and reasonable.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's building up those long-term relationships, say, with your tenants so that you keep tenants for longer and can build that trust. It's going to be really important.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a short music break now, and then after the break we'll unpack those laws a little bit further and chat to Paul about the ways that homes are selling. But here now is a little bit of music.
I get
the good old Temptations with My Girl. Are you a Temptations fan, Paul?
Yeah, of course.
West Auckland.
West Auckland parties. We always get up and have a rage for that one.
Bit of Temptations. Now, I'm joined with Paul Fox and Sarah Ball, branch manager and property manager of Barfoot and Thompson Glendine. And we're talking West Auckland, but investment and the RTA changes. And I guess, Paul, one thing I'm curious on are auctions still proving to be one of the most effective ways to buy and sell?
Most definitely. It's one of those markets, again, where we're struggling. We're going to have to do a current market analysis to give any potential vendors to where their house sits within the marketplace based on recent sales of similar properties to their own. And, you know, we can come up with a range on whereabouts that sits, and in the marketplace, if it's like it is at the moment, it just exceeds that. So it's... the thing I guess a lot of buyers like about it is it's open, it's transparent, so everyone gets to see what everyone else is bidding for. They get to see the value, and they make a conscious decision whether or not they see value above that point or not. So as opposed to a price by negotiation where it's done behind closed doors, then you've always got that fear of, hey, am I paying too much or not? So
if I'm a first-time buyer or a first-time investor coming into an auction, what sort of tips and tricks do you have for me?
Oh, I can't give away our secrets.
But like, if I'm really nervous, I've got no idea, and all I've watched is these American sitcoms where if I blink, I'm going to, you know, buy a $3 million apartment in the city. Is there someone that can guide me through, or is that the sales agent's job?
The sales consultants are the ones you always talk to. As we say, look, it's a relationship thing. Whether you're not just as a vendor selling your house, you've got to build a relationship and trust with sales consultant. Buyer's got to do exactly the same, and the sales consultant's got to be with them. I had a client in an auction 3 weeks ago. I think we weren't in lockdown at that stage. And just ran her through how the auction process worked, when it paused, what was happening, what was going on in negotiations, all that sort of stuff. And that just gave them a lot more confidence to be aware that, hey, we're in a market that is dominated by auction at the moment. And a lot of that is because we don't know what the prices are. Our job is not to set the price. We bring the market to the property, and the market are the ones that set the price. So taking someone through that, guiding them through how do they do it, all that, first port of call is, you know, have you got your finance sorted? So putting them in touch with a broker, whether it's for an investment or first home buyers, I've done the same thing with my kids. Put them in touch with a broker. Whether they're going to buy now or in 2 or 5 years' time, a broker will give them a plan to get them in that best position to buy. Running them through the auction process and how it all works, even getting them to have a bid, even if they know they're not going to purchase the property. It's a bit like us today getting a bit nervous, but it breaks the ice when you're at an auction. It's that first, you know, we always encourage, or I used to encourage my buyers, open the bidding. Whatever price you open it at, more than likely you're not going to own it at that level, but it just breaks the ice and gets so... It's things like that. It's not so much a trick, it's more a tip, and just building that confidence, I think, with your buyers between the sales consultant as well.
You just mentioned the mortgage broker, which segued into my next question. You know, what advice do you have for someone wanting to get on the West Auckland investment market for the first time? And I guess chatting to a mortgage broker is a good first step.
Yeah, definitely. So again, I mean, you know, best practice, you gotta find a sales consultant you like and trust. That's gonna be the key thing from there. They will have probably 2 or 3 brokers that they can put you in touch with if you don't have your own. You need to get yourself a good lawyer. So there's all those sort of things you need to put into play first, so that when you are gonna go to an auction and bid on a property, you know what you can bid up to, you've got a pre-approval, you know you've run your documents and any other paperwork, LIM report and all that sort of thing past a solicitor. So the first port of call there would always be a sales consultant, because they know the process on everything to go through. And they can normally give you 3 or 4 of each if you're needing a broker, solicitor, or, you know, if you want to get a building inspection done, whatever, they have all those contacts as well that they can advise.
That's cool. Sarah, from a rental point of view, what tips would you give a first-time landlord to be a great landlord? They've just brought their new investment property in Glendine. It's their first time. How can they be an awesome landlord?
I mean, I think just, it sounds funny, but presenting the property as best as they can, being low maintenance, nice and clean and tidy, perhaps most of the healthy home requirements done, you're definitely going to attract a good quality tenant who's going to respect the property and look after it like it's their own.
And you know, with the new rules, the fines that have come out for non-compliance are really high.
Mm.
What advice do you give to a landlord to best navigate these new rules to avoid those fines?
I mean, I think having a professional look after it for you, treating it as a business, not a hobby. Sort of, I guess, we're on top of all the latest legislation and completing inspections in time, everything like that, just to make things as easy as possible to be a landlord.
We've said it time and time on the show, you know, having a professional is like your insurance policy.
Yeah.
You take out medical insurance, you take out life insurance, you take out your building insurance. Having a property manager becomes that legal insurance, really, doesn't it?
It does.
And it can save you thousands of dollars.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Maintenance and getting the right tenants, I guess, is one of the key things we sort of spend going through that as well. So,
definitely.
And I guess under these new rules, choosing the right tenant is now even more important because it's not as easy to exit somebody.
That's right.
Correct.
So looking at just a quick summary of some of these new rules, if you haven't heard them, here are a couple of the key ones. Security of rental tenure. So landlords will not be able to end a periodic tenancy without cause by providing 90 days notice. New termination grounds will be available to landlords under a periodic tenancy, and the required notice periods will change. Changes for fixed-term tenancy. All fixed-term agreements will convert to periodic tenancies at the end of the fixed term unless the parties agree otherwise. The tenant gives a 28-day notice or the landlord gives notice in accordance with the termination grounds for periodic tenancy. So I guess that's a real change for those that used to just do fixed term for 12 months, then another fixed term, then another fixed term. It's one fixed term and then into periodic.
That's right.
Yeah.
So
that's going to be interesting. Now, making minor changes, you mentioned this before, landlords won't be able to withhold reasonable consent to minor changes to the premises, such as repairs and work that doesn't require consent, damage the property, or have an unreasonable negative effect on any person's enjoyment or use of any of the property outside the premises. So some examples that were given by the Minister Farfoy last year was, for example, brackets to secure furniture or appliances against an earthquake risk, baby-proofing the property, installation of visual fire alarms and doorbells, and items to hang pictures. Now, that sounds quite reasonable. When this first came out, everyone had visions that, you know, the tenant's going to knock up a deck out the front, put an extra bathroom out the back. Mm-hmm. We're not talking that, are we? We're talking very minor. And the landlord can impose reasonable conditions around how that minor change is carried out. So am I right, as a landlord, they could say, yes, I agree to you doing this, however, we would like a professional handyman to do it.
Mm. Correct.
Yeah. Okay. And the request, landlords must respond to a tenant's request to make a change within 21 days. So that's quite good. That is tightening that need for a response, because I bet you there's some landlords out there that it does take a while to get an answer from, and that can be hard on a tenant.
Mm.
Rental bidding's not allowed. It's not a big thing that happens too much here in New Zealand. It is overseas anyway. Have you ever experienced many people trying to sort of upbid to get into a property?
I have a few times. Sometimes there is a reason why they do that. I mean, I guess everyone's circumstances are quite different, and they might fall in love with a property and offer that little bit extra, but obviously it's advertised at a price and this does not go up.
And I find that bit fascinating, that under the new privacy rules, we need to put a price on an advertised property, including the signboard at the house. However, am I right, we've had to now remove requesting a current tenant, what's your previous rent you've been paying at a property, as part of the application process. So we can't ask what they're paying now, but we can tell the whole world in the street what they're about to pay. Yeah, that one baffles me.
It is a bit bizarre, and I guess if they're going to get into the bidding and try and pay more, is there something behind that? Maybe they're not such a good tenant, but they're trying to do it that way as well. So I guess you got your screening processes in place to resolve.
But imagine in that screening process, it's useful to know what rent someone's paying now. So when you're trying to work out, can they afford this?
Definitely.
Because you might look on paper and go, actually, that looks a bit tight for them, and then discover, well, actually, they've been paying this rent somewhere else successfully for 5 years, so they've obviously got it budgeting.
So. And I think that's why having a professional let your property is so important too. Those conversations can be quite difficult to have with an applicant's current landlord or previous landlord, and we kind of know what we're looking for in regards to the answers. also just checking with current landlords, previous landlords, employers, personal references, background checking. It's all very important part to selecting a tenant.
And then it's all that documentation after. I mean, you know, not providing a tenancy agreement in writing will be an unlawful act. Well, of course, using a professional is going to ensure that that is done. It seems crazy to think in this day and age that it's not happening to protect everybody.
Definitely.
Fibre broadband. So tenants can request to install fibre broadband and landlords must agree if it can be installed at no cost to them. Mm-hmm. So that's obviously a positive shift. And assignment of tenancies. Landlords will have to allow tenants to transfer the interests and responsibilities to a new tenant unless the landlord has a reasonable reason to decline it. So again, having a professional manage that process, because I guess you're going to need to be vetting those potential people.
Definitely. Mm.
Interesting time.
Yes.
Interesting times ahead. It will be some interesting discussions over the next little while.
And I think everyone's waiting to see what's going to happen. And who are going to be the
test case.
The test case, I think, is going to be the critical one here, to sort of see what happens, how does it happen, and then what's the answer that comes out of it. So watch the space,
Absolutely. Nearly at the end of our show, but Paul, I'm curious, because we talked at the start, you know, about the sales agents coming in. From a recruitment point of view, what are you looking for in a salesperson or a property manager? What makes a good team member in your branch?
I start with property manager because Sarah's right here. Someone exactly like Sarah. So I have to thank your sister too for getting you into the company. So that was good. So it's, property manager wise, I mean, you need someone who's diligent. They've got to be a go-getter. It's not, the two roles are actually very, very similar. I think past people used to think that they weren't the same, but you're still dealing with people. You've still got to have a skill set to deal with people. You've got to be motivated to go out and get business. From a sales consultant's perspective, you know, you are self-employed, so what you earn is what you get to keep. You're on commission, so you've got to be hard working. You've got to be driven. You've got to be motivated. We're here to support, but we can't motivate you. So that's the sort of thing you've got to look at from there as well. And I think the important part, especially probably from property management, is being part of the team. Honest upfront feedback, good communication between, you know, the managers and the team as to what's going on, so everyone knows exactly where things are. So people skills are probably one of the key things there.
Did you notice with all the COVID sort of lost employment, especially in like travel, hospitality, etc. last year, more people turned to real estate?
I think they did, and this often happens when you get a booming market like we've gone through. Everyone seems to think, let's get into real estate, we can make a quick buck and a big buck because the market's going up. But they don't realise it is a lot of hard work that goes on behind the scenes, and it's dedication and consistency, and it's
staying up with the regulations. I mean, we've just heard, you've got to be up to date to protect everybody.
Definitely. So you've got to be on your game. So it's full on. It's not an easy road, but it is a good road. It's fun, it's exciting, it's challenging, but it's good.
Yeah, and lots of variety, I'd imagine, in your role as well, Sarah.
Definitely.
No 2 days
every day is very different. Every day.
I think that's one of the good things about it.
That is one of the good things.
You don't know what's going to happen that day, and it can be all good, and sometimes you can get the odd bad things thrown in, but it's still fun at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So,
absolutely. Well, if you want to find out about Barfoot & Thompson Glendine, find out about joining their team, having them as fantastic property managers or your next salespeople, head to barfoot.co.nz/Glendine and you'll be able to track Paul and Sarah down. Thanks, guys, so much for joining us on a Monday afternoon, and glad we finally got you in the studio.
Thanks, Stephen.
Brilliant. Thanks, Stephen. It's been good.
Thanks for tuning in out there. If you would like to come on Property Matters and talk about anything in the real estate or property investment space, please email us at propertymatters@barfoot.co.nz. Remember, you can download previous episodes from our website at barfoot.co.nz/propertymatters. We'll be talking all things plumbing and gas next week. So if you're an owner, find out some of the things you need to look out for. Great to be back. Have a fantastic week. Stay safe. Keep well. Talk to you soon.